Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And this week on the podcast, we're going to be reviewing everybody's favorite show. Everybody's been talking about it. You know what it is. Netflix's Stranger Things.
Two.
Yes, I like that. It's not season two, it's just Stranger Things 2.
Yeah, it's like a sequel to Stranger Things.
You know, it was funny. I was going to kick off the podcast by singing the theme song. I was going to go, oh, everybody loves the theme song. And then I went, da-na-na-na-na. I was like, wait a second, that's The Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's good. Like, I was thinking of humming it too. Let's see. No, I can't do it.
That's just how good it is. It requires instrumentation beyond just the sound of our humming. But no, we do love the theme song, and we love season one. Well, I think I gave it a 9. What did you give season one of Stranger Things?
Probably less than that, but I really liked it too.
Yeah, it was definitely one of our favorite shows of 2016.
Yes. It's a great show. 80s nostalgia. Kids. Mystery. Yeah.
You like summed it up. That's it. Say no more, Matt. There's a sheriff, yes. So we're going to be talking about spoilers. Sometimes with a season one, we give you a little preview without spoilers, but this show's is kicked off, it's running, so we don't need to give you the non-spoiler version. So we'll hit you with our quick spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert! Woo!
That was probably a better attempt at the Stranger Things theme than what we hummed before.
And you can now not say you haven't been warned.
All right. So, Stranger Things Season 2. How does it kick off? Because the last season, we didn't know what happened to Eleven. She just kind of, she kind of defeated the Demogorgon and then just went off into the ether.
It appeared that she died, but the sheriff, Hopper, got a box of waffles and left it in a box, which made us think she's probably alive.
Yeah. Follow the trail of egos. That's probably the best clue, the best tip I can give you.
Yes.
The gang's pretty sad about this. They form quite a tight-knit group. And they had gone on some pretty epic adventures last season. Mike is the most sad of all.
Yeah, because he and Eleven, it just sort of started. It's fair to say, start a relationship. Were they like? They hadn't had the conversation yet.
Yeah, they hadn't labeled it yet, had they?
No. I guess technically they weren't exclusive, but I sort of feel like they were.
Yeah, I'd. If not a relationship, they'd at least started a romance.
Yes, I think that's fair. They kissed in the season final, I think. We come back, and Mike is pretty sad this season.
And Will, he was kind of at the center of the series in season one. This season, he's a lot more, we get to see him a lot more. Because last time, they spent the whole season looking for him. This time he's here, but
just like The Hangover, how you don't see the crew for most of the movie because he's the guy they're looking for.
Yeah, Will was the Doug of season one. This time we get to see a lot more of Will, but not everything's hunky dory. We saw at the end of season one he sort of coughs up that slug looking thing, and that turned out to be a bit of a problem because that slug slowly grew from a slug into first a lizard-looking thing and then a dog-looking thing. It became increasingly scary throughout the season.
Oh, is this Dustin's pet?
Yeah, look, I like Dustin. I think he provides some great comedic relief on the show, and I think he really cares about his friends. There's some really touching moments with Dustin. But man, didn't you just want to smack him when he kept Dart as a pet? Like, surely anything from The Upside Down is just no good.
Yeah, no, I agree. Here's the thing. If you're going to keep it as a pet, like, you got to have a plan. You go, okay, guys, let's keep it. Maybe we can train it to, like, fight with us against the other different organs or whatever. Like, you know, it seemed like he hadn't thought through what he was doing. That was the most frustrating thing. It's not like there was some interesting end game with this. They're like, oh, we've actually been able to raise a Demogorgon. Maybe this is going to, like, pay off in dividends later on. Yeah.
Yeah, Siegfried and Roy raised tigers, and they did eventually attack them in the end, but for the most part it was okay. Maybe we could do that with a Demogorgon. I think, surely when you see it double in size in like 2 days, you don't just go, huh, like it grew up quickly. You think, it might be twice as big in another 2 days, and four times as big in another 4 days, and this might get out of control pretty quickly.
Yeah, no, so definitely not great Demogorgon strategy from Dustin this season.
Just wanted a friend. Just wanted a demo friend.
Okay, what else is happening?
So, as we mentioned, Eleven, she's alive. She's living with Hopper, and he has this kind of cabin where he's been hiding her, because he knows that even though some of the main bad guys from last season ended up being killed, you know, there are other people that might want to track her down. So she's kind of, for her own safety, is essentially, like, keeping her captured.
Now, in, like, the world, like, Sheriff keeping a, like, 12-year-old girl that's not his daughter in a cabin in the woods. Massive creep vibes. But I feel like in the context of Stranger Things, it's not creepy.
Yeah, if this was season one, if this our season one kicked off, we'd be like, oh, don't trust this guy one bit.
Yeah.
But fortunately, we like Hopper. Yeah. Was one of the best characters of season one. Kind of this crotchety old detective. He's got sort of a sad backstory because he lost his daughter and sort of now, not overly literally, not in a creepy way, but he sort of feels the need to protect Eleven in a way, maybe to make up for that, kind of sort of fill that void of having lost the daughter. So even though we know it's frustrating for Eleven, we can see why he's keeping her there for her own safety.
Yeah, after you saw everything that went down last season with the Hawking's labs, I am quite concerned, like Hopper, about her becoming, like, getting captured by them again.
And so, I've forgotten his name. The sort of main bad guy from the lab, he's gone. And we got a new sort of head of the lab, played by Paul Reiser. What did you think of this guy? Did you think he was trustworthy?
Well, no. No, I didn't. like any sort of doctor, like sort of like telling Will, look, it's just PTSD, man. Don't worry about it. Just ignore it. It'll go away eventually or something. It sounded a bit suspect. And then when you see that, like, there's like, you know, eight people in suits watching on screens the sessions that he has with Will, my suspicions were raised even more.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand why he was lying about that, because obviously something else was going on, and it's not as though the concept of the upside down, anything sort of supernatural, was foreign to him. I mean, he was working at this gate to the upside down.
Yes.
So I thought either he's just incredibly ignorant or he's lying for a reason. He's hiding that from the family, and I wasn't sure what that reason was. So at first I found him untrustworthy because I knew he was lying. But throughout the course of the season, he actually sort of made some good points. For example, when Nancy and Jonathan went there and to the lab and welcome Bonnie Eford to the podcast.
Oh, Bonnie.
Podcast favorite. Just a celebrity drop-in. Straight from the actors' creative studios.
Just dropping by, you know.
I'm loving it.
How was the workshop?
The workshop was great. I performed a Screen Verdict favorite Parks and Recreation scene tonight.
Did you hand out any Screen Verdict business cards?
I did. I was really pushing Screen Verdict.
We've got her on the payroll.
All the agents.
It's unpaid, but we log the hours.
Yeah, it's all unbillable work. Pro bono, you know.
Yes, we'll give you a college credit or something.
Very good. All right. Yeah. What's your opinion on Stranger Things Season 2?
I love the first 20 minutes of every episode. I fall asleep in every night.
Oh, okay. That's sort of okay. I thought you were going to say you, like, love the first 20 minutes of every episode and, like, really didn't care for the second sort of 20, 30 minutes. And I go, boy, that's amazing how they're able to just have such a noticeable shift in quality for you at the same time of every episode.
Yeah, how do they write the episodes? Are there like three writers, like I do 20, you do 20, you do 20, and the first guy is just way more talented than everybody else?
I just get extremely grumpy and critical after the first 20 minutes. I'm just kidding.
That's your attention span. Anything longer than an episode of Parks and Recreation is just unwatchable.
Hashtag millennial, hashtag 4-second attention span, hashtag swipe left. Anyways, I'll leave you guys to it. Sorry to interrupt.
No, thanks, buddy. Thanks for your thoughts.
We like the one-third of a review.
You gotta get a female perspective in there sometimes.
Yeah. That's the main complaint we get. Like, great podcast, too many dudes.
Yeah. Mainly from me.
Matt's been looking for a female co-host for the last 6 years. So yes, Hawkins Lab, Nancy and Jonathan come in and they're like, this isn't good. We gotta shut this down. And he's like, look, if you go out there blabbing about it, imagine if the Russians knew about this. What would they do? What would they say? Would they even think this is a bad thing? And of course, that seems like a way to just sort of defend what they were doing. But I thought it was an interesting point. I thought, ooh, this kind of the gate to the upside down, it is pretty much nothing but trouble. Do you want other countries finding out about it?
Yeah. No, it was a good point. I think that, like, Paul Reiser guy, like, he ended up being a pretty nice guy by the end of it. It seems like later on in the season, he's in some board meeting, and he's like, no, we shouldn't kill Will. Like, it seemed like Hawkins had gone from an incredibly evil organization to one with a few different ideas in the room. Just gone from
a very evil corporation to just a regular corporation. Like, sometimes they acted in their own self-interest, but overall not entirely evil.
Yeah, I agree. And it seems like this guy had quite a lot of power, and he was sort of trying to push things in a bit more, like, reasonable and less evil direction.
Well, speaking of new characters, we also got introduced to Bob, played by Sean Astin, a love interest for Mrs. Byers. What did you think of Bob?
I thought he was going to be the annoying character of the season. Although he's going to be the loser that, like, is going to just get in the way. Maybe, like, this season's Steve sort of thing. But I ended up really liking him. When he got really into the mazes and the games and that sort of stuff, I really liked how much he threw himself into stuff. And, like, for a guy that was sort of pathetic. He probably handled a lot of the upside down stuff better than I might have.
Yeah, he did seem kind of dorky, and you wondered if he would be like, sort of meddling in the kids' business, saying, guys, you need to be smart and safe and stop messing around with all this nonsense. But no, he was very protective, and once he sort of found out about what was going on, or before he even was shown, I guess, you know, the actual upside down or whatever, in that scene where they're putting together the map or the maze, if you will, he was very helpful. He figured out the puzzle. I thought that was a great scene, sort of visually, It was a little bit kind of like the lights from last year. It's kind of like, you don't know what's going on, but we're going to put them all around the house and sort of see what happens, see if we can figure this out.
Yeah, no, definitely. And he was, yeah, so I ended up liking Bob. Like, if you were going out with someone, maybe your high school crush, like Bob, like, you know, he's going out with Nancy Byers or whatever her name is. So, at what point in this season do you walk away from the relationship?
If you're... I've forgotten Will's mum's name. If you're Mrs. Byers, is that the question?
No, if you're Bob. Yeah, I'm Mrs. Byers. Like, if, like, your girlfriend was taking you, like, down, like, into tunnels with monsters and sort of stuff like that, are you walking away from that? Or you're like, oh, this is pretty interesting.
Yeah. How crazy does it have to get? For it to be like, look, I was in love with you in high school, but I'm not going to die for you. you know, I guess it's a risk-reward thing. You know, if everything was fine and they could just, you know, all we have to do is move house. We'll just buy a different house and then the monsters won't bother us anymore. I'd probably just move. I'd be like, the adventure's not worth it. But seeing as it was kind of, it was inside Will, and you wanted to help the son, I think you stick around. I think,
okay.
good guy, like Bob.
That. I'll agree. I'll co-sign that. What about, I guess we've done the spoiler alert, so Bob dies. What did you think about that?
You know, it was a good scene, that one, him trying to escape. From the lab with Paul Reiser on the walkie-talkie or whatever, saying, like, go left, stop, get in the closet. You know, I thought he was going to get out, and then when he looks at her and in kind of slow motion, you're like, that's not good.
Yeah.
I was sad to see Bob go. I feel like he did enough. He deserved to survive to season 3 or Stranger Things 3, but, you know, perhaps this opened things up for Hopper to move in. Maybe that's what the fans really want. Like, Bob, you're a nice guy, you did your part, but we like the detective more.
Yeah, now I had some issues with this. It was probably my biggest issue of the season. I feel like it was just too, like, convenient that he died. Like, it seemed more like just convenient plotting rather than something that seemed organic. And I feel like it was sort of too obvious. Like, they sort of set it up too much. Like, so it's like, yeah, you go, I'll go alone. Like, you go back with the family. And then, like, he leaves the gun behind. Do you remember that?
I did, although it seems as though the demodogs, as Dustin called them, are pretty strong. They seem to be able to take a couple of bullets. So I don't know if how much that would have helped anyway, unless Bob happens to be a natural and just put, you know, 6 in a row straight into the demodog. I don't know if that would have helped him.
Well, yeah, that's my issue. Like, it's like, they sort of, so he leaves the gun at the computer and the camera, like, zooms in on it. It's like, oh, no. And at that point, it's like, okay, well, Bob's going to die. Like, it's very important that he has left his gun behind. And that's when I was like, I hope it doesn't die, because now I'm expecting him to die. I want it to, like, subvert my expectations. And then he does die. But I don't think the gun would have saved him at all. I don't know why it was so important that he'd left the gun behind.
Do you think,
like, jump at him from the back or something? Like, he's not even looking at it when he gets attacked.
Yeah, he gets blindsided. I think he gets hit from the side.
I don't know how a pistol would help to this situation at all.
Do you think that is a problem?
I don't know why the trooper needs to zoom in on the gun.
You reckon that's a wasted scene?
A wasted shot?
Yeah, it wasn't a whole scene.
Yeah.
I guess, because it sort of just heightens the intensity of it. You go, oh, man, he's forgot the gun. That's no good, man. He's going to have to hide or run. He's got no weapon, man. Does it need to actually have an impact? Like, I agree, because I'm a sort of a logical A plus B equals C person. Like, what would you have thought if they showed that, the gun? Oh, he left the gun behind. And then there was just no conflict. Like, he walked out the place.
Yeah, that would have been pretty weird.
But yeah, no, I did notice that too.
Yeah.
All right, poor Bob. They couldn't afford Sean Astin for two seasons.
Yeah, so I don't know. I thought it was good. Like, that was an amazing episode. It was so tense and so exciting, like one of their best episodes ever. But I was a bit, didn't love that. It just got a bit too forced, the Bob death.
Mm. Well, you were worried.
Justice for Bob.
You were worried Bob might be the Steve of this season. So what did you think of Steve this season?
Okay, well, I was very critical of the show last season for sort of like Steve being an absolute douche and a bit of a bully, and then he just cleans up a bit of graffiti, and that's meant to be like, oh yeah, now we like Steve. I really like Steve this season, though. I thought he was great. I don't know who said that. I think they redeemed him well. I love pairing him up with Dustin. That was fun. And how him, like, I feel like him having a nemesis in the school was sort of fun. And he seems like he's, like, a nice guy. Maybe, is it Jonathan, the girl that Nancy ended up going out with?
Yeah, Jonathan is Will's older brother.
I actually think Steve's like a bit of a nicer, more interesting guy than Jonathan now. Like, Jonathan was a bit boring, a bit, like, flat all season. Steve, I thought, was pretty interesting and funny and, yeah, and a good friend, good mate, hanging out with the kids, helping them beat Demogorgons.
Yeah, they've done a good job of redeeming Steve, because I really didn't like him for the majority of season one, but he kind of, you know, apologizes to Nancy, and he sort of redeems himself by when he ran back into the house to help them fight the Demogorgon. And then this season, there's no way he could be the high school douche, because now there's another guy that's way douchier than Steve.
Yeah. It's like guy that's like a psychopath or something, right?
So, yeah, we get introduced to the two new characters.
Kids in the first episode.
What did he do in the first episode?
Didn't he try running over those, like, the guys, like, Dustin?
Yeah.
They're, like, riding their bikes, and, like, he gets annoyed at Matt, so he just puts his foot on the acceleration. Hey, don't run over those guys. And he's like, I don't care.
Yeah, what an extreme way to tell your sister to stop lying or shut up or whatever he wanted her to do. He's like, yeah. Now, if you don't do this, I'm just going to murder three kids.
I feel like that was Stranger Things' way of, like, going, okay, we know, like, turn the corner on Steve a bit. You're never going to like this guy. Right? Like,
yeah, so those two were a little bit mysterious at the start. They kind of moved to the school. And, you know, Max seems cool. She's a bit of a rebel. She gets the high score on some arcade game, whereas he seems like a bully. And he says, she's not my sister. And you're thinking, oh, what's the backstory here? In the end, we don't really learn that much other than she's just like his stepsister and they moved here for whatever reason. And the dad is like a total bully. So it sort of makes sense. It's like, okay, you know, he beats up on the son, so he beats up on other people. You're like, okay, I get it. But it wasn't really that much of a surprise or a reveal as you thought you might have got, considering the slow burn through the first few episodes.
Yeah, this was my other issue with the season, was I feel like there were seeds planted in the first couple of episodes that there was some revelation or something. There was some, like, oh, they had to move from that town because of some incident in LA or wherever they were moving from, like, and we were going to find out in the last two episodes what that was. and then it sort of like just ended with like, oh no, the dad's not great or something like that. I was really disappointed that there was no like cap to that. And something I was talking to someone about it. They said, oh well, like maybe that's something for season three. I'm like, I didn't care anywhere near enough about to want it to be in like something that gets revealed in season three. Like, so. Yeah, I didn't agree. The interesting thing is, loved Max. Think she was a great addition.
Yeah, Max was great. Great addition to the team.
One of the best things about the season.
Yeah, did you want Dustin or Lucas to end up with Max?
I don't really care. I still want to be too much drama amongst the group. Like, yeah. I'm not watching Stranger Things for, like, angsty relationship drama.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
The friends, yeah, so Jonathan, Nancy, Steve, I get that. They're a little bit older, a bit more, like, you know, you expect a bit more love triangle sort of stuff. I didn't really want a love triangle too much within our group. They sort of dealt with it okay, though. It never got too heated.
Yes. Yeah, they didn't really argue, you know, sort of like, she's mine or anything. They more argued about, you know, you told her, you know, party information when the party didn't vote on it. So I like that they had a code, and Dustin wanted them to stick to the code. It wasn't just about, you know, she's my girl.
Yeah, we've talked about Dustin really dropping the ball with the Demogorgon, or Demogorgon, or whatever it is, Doggin, or what about Lucas telling Max the Stranger Things 1 storyline? Is that...
I wanted to see it. I wanted to see how he condensed it. Like, okay, go. No, don't cut away. I want to see how you explain the 10 episodes of television to Max and make her believe it.
That's your standard TV trope, right? Like, they sometimes do this in Game of Thrones or other shows where there's a character that doesn't know anything that's happened, and that Lost, I think, does this sometimes. So they have to fill in the person on everything that's happened, but they don't want us to watch that because we've watched, hopefully, every episode of the show. We know what's happened, so they go, look, I've got to tell you something, and then just cuts to some other scene. And then, like, we go back to them, it's like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I don't believe you. But you do often wonder how long did it take to tell the whole story of the show up until this point.
Yeah, it's an interesting balance. I don't think there was anything too tense going on at that particular time for them to go to. But it is sort of funny when a show, obviously we're not watching something in real time, but when one scene progresses, another scene you expect has to progress as well. So it's kind of funny, like someone points a gun at someone else, and then we go to some other characters that are talking about some relationship drama, and then we come back to the gun scene and they're still just pointing it at them. And like, hey, like you haven't moved at all.
Yeah, it's funny, that sort of stuff. Do you think Lucas should have told Max all that stuff without the party's approval?
You know, I think telling her was the right thing to do. I think he just should have convinced the gang of that first.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I do think, like, because I think he was right to tell her, but sort of you could have a where does it end. Like, is this, like, it's pretty sensitive information.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably just can't have everyone in the group telling anyone they want to all about it.
Yeah.
Especially it deals with, like, sort of maybe some mental health stuff that Will's going through. It's like some of it's quite sensitive and personal.
Mm. Mm.
So but I'm glad she found out, because Michael's being such a jerk to her, very unfairly.
Yes. Mike, he was a bit less likable this season. I get why he was angsty, but angsty isn't entertaining for us to watch. So he was a real douche to Max. Even though I liked Max, the rest of the gang liked Max. He was like, you're no 11. 11 or bust.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess part of him, like, some of the guys started to like her. He's like, oh, I'm meant to be the guy in the group with the girlfriend. I'm the guy with the girl. Now, like, it's not Dustin or Lucas that get the girlfriend in the group. I mean, there's a bit of that, too. but anyway, the funny thing is, there is, like, one moment where he is sort of, like, not a douche to Max. Like, he's not even that nice to her, but he's sort of, like, a little bit, like, less douchey. And that's the one moment 11 visits the school. You're like, oh, 11, you would have been so proud if you'd seen him be a jerk to Max for the past 5 episodes.
And it's funny, when 11 and Max finally meet, this is skipping ahead a little bit, but she walks in, she hugs everybody, it's such a great reunion, and then Max is like, you must be 11, I've heard so much about you, and then she's just like, nah.
I bet Max was thinking, that's why Mike and 11 got on so well.
They're both dicks.
They both hate me for no reason.
Oh, man.
Two biggest jerks in the school, other than my brother. Yeah.
So we talked about most of the kids. I said that Bob was very good. He was very helpful, but he actually probably did one of the least helpful things of the season, unintentionally, when he was telling Will that story about him having nightmares about that clown, and he said, "Eventually, I just said no, go away." Go away! And so Will tries that in his, what do they call it? They refer to him as now memories, I think. And then rather than hiding from the shadow monster just gets inside him, and it's just all downhill from there. So thanks a lot, Bob.
Yeah, I don't really know why Will was choosing to listen to Bob, but yeah, that was definitely his weak moment of the season. Who gives dream advice to? Has anyone ever given you, like, oh, okay, if you're in a dream and this happens, this is what you should do?
I don't know. He's just wanted to help, I guess.
Yeah. So, like, I never go up to you, Jonathan, I'm like, look, in my dreams, girls are never agreeing to go out with me. What should I be doing differently in my dreams? Give me some tips.
And then I'm like, Matt, you don't have to preface these stories with in my dreams, okay? We can just talk openly. there's very little chance it's going to be helpful because dreams don't really adhere to logic. And it didn't work out here either. He gets consumed by the shadow monster, and that seemed a bit less interesting because we didn't get any more visuals of the shadow monster. Like, I thought those were quite exciting, scary scenes in the now memories, but now we just see Will just kind of acting snarky with people because he's kind of semi-possessed by the shadow monster.
No, it's fair.
Here's a question for you. Rank the shadow monsters. Lost, Game of Thrones, Stranger Things.
So let me try and remember. What's the shadow monster in Game of Thrones again? That's what killed Renly, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing I find hard with this. Is I feel like the Game of Thrones one's probably the least impressive, but it's the one where I understood the objective more. Like, I got what it was trying to do. Whereas the Lost Smoke Monster, they never really explained what its purpose was, like what its actual end game was. And the Stranger Things one thing about it now, I don't really know that either. But I feel like I've got a bit of a better sense of it. I'd say the Stranger Things one is the top one.
Yeah, I think it was visually the most interesting one as well.
Yes, I would agree with that.
So that played out in a semi-interesting way. Probably the best thing that came from it was when... what did he say? He said, oh, yeah, you know, it doesn't like the heat. It didn't like it when you burned it. Here's kind of the center, the core. If you go and, you know, attack that, set that on fire, it might kill it or whatever. And then they go there, and he's like, sorry, it made me do it. And it was a trap. And then all the people in there just get attacked by the Demodogs. That was pretty cool. That was pretty unexpected.
That was really cool.
Mm.
Yeah, that was really cool. Have we touched all the characters?
Let's talk a bit about Eleven. We haven't...
Yeah, we haven't talked about her at all.
So, she says, nah, the cabin life is not the life for me. I'm going to go find my mum. And so she had been sort of alluded to in the first season as having gone crazy. And she finds her, and she's just repeating these words over and over again. And I guess Eleven's able to see what happened to her. Essentially, she found Eleven, tried to save her from the lab, but they, I don't know, what do they do exactly? They basically just, you know, captured her and fried her brain.
Yes.
So that was pretty sad, because Eleven thought she'd found her mum and maybe been able to help her mum, and she was sort of able to communicate with her indirectly through these kind of dreams, but it seemed like she was beyond help.
Yes. Yeah, no, I agree. So, yeah, it was, like, quite interesting. What do you think about the episode where she met her sister?
Yeah, this was a bit of a polarizing episode from comments I've seen on social media. I thought it was interesting because it was a bit different. And, you know, everything has been inside the... the town. Is Hawkins the name of the town?
Yeah, Hawkins, Indiana, right?
Yeah, and she goes to Chicago. So that was interesting, like Stranger Things in a big city. We get to meet some new characters. Don't you hate it when people refuse to believe that something is possible when they already know that something fantastical is possible? You know, the sister says to that, the guy with the mohawk, oh, I think she can, you know, act as a radar. And he's like, no way, man, that's impossible. And it's like, you just saw her use telekinetic powers. You've been hanging out with your sister for months, if not years, and she can make you envision spiders. Like, the fact that she could locate someone, is that really beyond comprehension?
Yeah. No, I agree.
So I thought that was a bit silly. Overall, I thought it was an interesting episode, and it was a bit of a risk. And I didn't hate it, but I don't think it paid off. Because, to be honest, I like the gang. I like the group dynamics. I like Hawkins. I like the fact that it's kind of happening in this, like, quaint little, you know, almost country town. And what was most frustrating was the end of the previous episode was epic. When you had the Demodogs climbing out of that, what is that, that cavern thing up into the lab, and you just see you just see Hopper and Paul Reiser just like, oh no. So that was like a really great ending to the next episode, and then Stranger Things was like, no, you're going to have to wait a whole more episode to see what happens, because we're going to spend this one in Chicago.
Yeah, so that was sort of cool. Like, there was some good things that came from it and stuff, but I messaged my friend who's a big Stranger Things fan who charged through Stranger Things 2 quicker than I was able to. I sent them a message saying, halfway through episode 7, worst episode of all time. And they replied, you are objectively wrong. And I replied, Eleven joins a gang with a bunch of characters I don't care about. And then they've rephrased it as, Eleven goes on a journey of self-discovery to figure out who it is she wants to be.
Well, that's true. I mean, self-discovery is correct in terms of describing the plot of that episode. It's just, the question is that interesting to watch? I thought it was going to be more important than that because that's how they open season 2. The very first scene is the sister and the gang doing a getaway from, like, a bank robbery or whatever, and you see she has, like, a number tattooed on her. What was her number? 8? 14? I don't know. She has a number 24? As well.
24? Is it 22? No, probably not 24. I think it's 8. I think you're right.
It was close to 11's number. Anyway. And that makes you go, ooh, yeah, there's more of them. Perhaps we're going to get to see a bit of a sort of Avengers or Justice League type thing in Stranger Things. Yeah. But no, we just don't hear, it's not referenced at all until episode 7, and then not again after episode 7. You know, maybe she'll come back, or maybe we'll meet other people with these abilities. But... yeah. I mean, I got it. I liked that 11 came back. It was rewarding. You know, the line at the end of the... It's like, they can't save you or something. And she's like, I know, but there's still time for me to save them. And you go, oh, that was a good line. I like that. Yeah, 11. Come back and save them, 11. So, you know, I didn't love it, but I think it was forgivable.
I wonder if it all worked as a side subplot or something like that.
A DVD whatever. Extra.
Yeah. the Beyond Stranger Things guy could introduce it. The guy from the community.
So she does come back. What do we think of the ending? How it all wraps up?
When 11 returns.
Yeah. So they're all hiding in the cabin or whatever, and then we see her. You know, the door unlocks. And no one seems to think, oh, that's 11. They're like, what's happening? They all point their guns at the door or whatever. But it's just her. And they're like, she's like, okay, we got to go close the gate. Because Will, he told us in Morse code, we got to close the gate.
Yeah.
So I guess that was sort of the two things to do, right, in the final episode. They needed to get the shadow monster out of Will, and they needed to close the gate.
In that order.
In the...
Very important they got it in the right order. Great like ending to the season. To like, there's a clear objective they have. The stakes are high. All the characters I like are involved in their own little way. It's like real, you know, everyone contributing. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought you did feel for Will. When they had to essentially burn him alive until they got the shadow monster out, but it was necessary, I guess I liked it conceptually, but really the ending was 11 just sort of standing in front of a hole, just going
ah. I like that though. That'll look pretty cool. Shooting demigods.
Yeah, Hopper was shooting the demigods off the wall. Like, I mean, it made sense and it wrapped up the plot. I was perhaps just expecting like a little twist or something else to happen, a slight hurdle to overcome. But no, all we got was like a, you know, some flashbacks of her sister saying, "Yeah, get angry, make yourself mad. Your powers get stronger when you're mad."
Yeah. Yes, Ben. What about, and then we have the snowball.
Yes, the dance. So, Dustin is quite a funny character, but he's endearing as well. We don't just want to laugh at him. We want him to succeed, so he's got some hair advice from Steve. He's rocking a crazy new do, and he goes to the dance. Looked like he might have been interested in Max, but Lucas already asked Max to dance. So then he's like, anyone and everyone. perhaps that was the problem. Some of the girls did seem a bit mean and judgmental, but, you know, you can't just go from one to the next. The room will cotton on.
Yeah, because then Will gets a date. Like, a girl comes up and goes like, hey, zombie boy, you want to dance?
what was considered an insult by a different character early in the season is made completely okay by the fact that you're female.
Yeah. He was saying it in a quite complimentary tone as yes. well, I guess.
Yeah, it's, you can say that if you're friends or offering something nice, you know. If it's if you're saying, "Hey, zombie boy, you're not allowed to play soccer with us," you know, that's yeah. an insult. But if you say, "Hey, zombie boy, would you like an ice cream?" You go, "Well, I guess it's an endearing nickname because they're offering me ice cream."
Yeah. I feel like also if there's like if there was someone who had freckles, I feel like you could call them freckles as a tease or in an endearing way.
Yes. Perhaps a less interesting character trait than being dead and then coming back to life again. But yes. You could use it either way.
Yeah, so, the girl with the zombie, I had a friend who told me they would have thought it would have been nicer if, we'd seen that girl earlier in the season, maybe, like, standing with one of the people that's, you know, just a little bit of like just something that it came back yes. to. So maybe like someone teases Will, "Hey, zombie boy," and she's sort of standing to the side, chuckling a little bit or something, and then she comes good at the dance.
Or maybe she was in the group, but she wasn't one of the mean ones, but didn't yeah. feel like she could say yeah. anything, and now she sort of makes up for it by asking him to dance. Yeah, yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. But then, Stacey, massive douche to Dustin at the dance.
Stacey.
She's the girl Will, that Dustin goes up to and says, "Hey, Stacey, do you want to dance?" And she rebuffs it.
Yeah. Well, she got shown what for when Nancy agrees to dance with Dustin.
Yeah.
That was a sweet moment. Raising Dustin's yeah. stock for next year's dance.
And it was in the first episode of Stranger Things Season 1, he offers Nancy some pizza, and she shuts the door on him. So he's like, that. I thought that was a nice little, like, you know, look where they've come in the two seasons.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then Eleven makes it to the dance. Hopper and Paul Reiser have decided, you know, it's still not safe for it to come out of the cabin for another year, except for the snowball.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that was showing that, like, Hopper's become a little less overprotective. Like, he's not going to just keep her as a prisoner. He'll let her go to the dance. And he'll give her, and a friend pointed this out to me, that apparently that he saw on the internet, he didn't figure it out, that Hopper has a bracelet from his daughter or something that he gave to Eleven for the ball. She was wearing Hopper's daughter's bracelet or something. That was a nice little touch.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was an endearing scene. It was good to see Mike and Eleven back together. That was rather cute. A very nice way to end the season. The final scene just pans out from the lovely snowball where nothing could possibly go wrong from here. My yeah. Netflix cut out there, but I'm pretty sure that was the end. Everything's okay, right?
Well, no.
No?
Because the camera then goes sort of upside down, and you see another version of the school in the upside down, like underneath it.
Oh man, I hope there's no smoke monster.
Was there one on top? I think there was.
So look, we've closed the gate and we got the smoke monster out of Will, but there's still an upside down and there's still a smoke monster.
If I was a betting man, I'd say there's going to be a Stranger Things 3.
You know, I heard something the other day. It was a way of measuring success for TV shows, because rather than just ratings or something, some group of people had gotten together and measured just like ratings, downloads, but also merchandise purchases and, you know, mentions on Twitter and Facebook, all that social media stuff, and somehow compiled a formula to rate overall buzz, overall popularity, overall engagement. And the number one show for 2017, Stranger Things.
Oh, that's what I was going to guess.
So, I'd say they're probably coming back for season 3. I imagine it's rather profitable for Netflix.
Yeah, so no, it's great. Stranger Things. We saw Hopper and Mrs. Byers start maybe something up. Do you want to see them get together? I sort of do, but it's not something I'm craving.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I like them both, and I wouldn't resent it if they got together, but, you know, if... I don't know. They've both been through a lot of stress. Do you think that's good to be with someone that can identify with your... or relate to your stress, or should they just meet, you know, someone with less baggage, so. A happier person?
As long as you don't make each other more stressed.
Mm. They seem to be good for each other.
Yeah, I think they don't seem to be doing that. I think they, I think it can be good to have some shared experience, which is why, even though I think Steve is probably a better guy than Jonathan now, Nancy's probably better suited to Jonathan, I think, because of what they've gone through together.
Yes, I agree with that. I like Steve now. I've come around on Steve. Nancy and Jonathan, I feel like they're... storyline was a little bit less interesting this season.
Yeah.
But I do like them. I feel like they genuinely care about each other and...
Yeah.
Yeah, they have been through a lot. I think they'll stick it out.
Yeah. Like, if I was going out with someone, I'd go out with Steve over Jonathan. But I think Nancy should go out with Jonathan.
Depends if you knew Steve when he was a douche or not. Or whether
yeah,
you just...
Yeah.
Or you've only ever known new Steve.
Yeah. It was really cool how Steve was chatting with Nancy in the last episode, and he's like, sort of like, he was very cool about her going out with Jonathan. He sort of got it. And he's sort of like, nah, you should be with him. That's where you should be. Like, it showed that he was a bit less caught up in himself than Nancy. Like, you know what I mean? It was about, like, he sort of, I think before it was a lot of pride. He's like, oh, I can't have Nancy dump me and go out with that guy. Like, that's... then I'll look like an idiot. It was, like, more worried about, yeah, people finding the right people rather than how it made him look.
Hmm. So is there anything else you're looking forward to in Season 3? Or is it all a bit of a mystery?
Wondering what holiday it will be, because we had a Halloween this season. I guess last season was Christmas time, right? Or did she just have those lights left over?
Yeah, that's a good point. I can't remember.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's Christmas lights. It's sort of like tangentially Christmas-themed last season.
Valentine's Day. It's going to be a whole bunch of relationship stuff next season, yep. All around Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd see a love triangle with... for Valentine's Day with Jonathan, Nancy, and Dustin.
very good. Well, is it time to give it Stranger Things 2 a review?
Oh, my one last thought was, I wonder if there's any really young people who watch Stranger Things who were sort of going, I think they got it wrong, the period piece. It's meant to be said 1984 or 1983 or whatever. And Ghostbusters actually came out in 2016. These guys have really dropped the ball on their Halloween costume, like, fact-checking department.
Yeah, I feel like the budget was a bit higher for Stranger Things 2. Like, they could afford to make more pop culture references. They're like, yeah.
Yes.
How much for 20 seconds of music? Yeah, 20 grand. Yeah, we can do it. Yeah. You use the Ghostbusters theme.
Yeah. They were pretty amazing costumes. Like,
yes.
Your parents getting you getting costumes that good for Halloween.
They were sick.
They're like straight out of the movie. Like commissioned the costumes. costume designer from Ghostbusters to make their Halloween costumes.
I was surprised people thought they looked, you know, were kind of judging them. Like, oh, you idiots, like, why are you wearing costumes? I would have been more like, whoa, yeah, nobody else is wearing costumes, but those are really good costumes.
Yeah. No, I don't get it either. Like, Will's was a little big. Anyway, yeah, we better give it the verdict. Go, Jonathan.
All right. Stranger Things 2. I'm a big fan of the show. I love the tone. I love the music. The soundtrack is great. A bunch of really likable characters. There was sort of a good mystery with the shadow monster, how that was going to play out. I thought that the map episode was great. I thought the episode where Will tricks them, or the shadow monster tricks them, you know, sends them into the trap and they escape, and they're, you know, guiding Bob through the lab. I thought all of that was really fun, really exciting. I kind of missed Eleven this season. A lot of her stuff wasn't as interesting. Like, she was probably my favorite character last season. So I think the sort of the chemistry or the dynamics suffered with her being away from the gang. And I didn't love episode 7, but I did enjoy it when she came back. So at least it finished on a high note. Just overall entertaining, really funny. I just think probably the main thing that I didn't like as much from season 1 was perhaps there was a bit less of a mystery. Like, the pieces were all in place. It's like, okay, the monster's inside Will. What's happening now? We got to get the monster out of Will. You know, there's a bit less unknown. There's a bit less twist, suspense, and surprise this season. But overall, I like the way how it played out. I'm definitely going to be watching Stranger Things 3. And I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Nice. Cool. I really liked this season of Stranger Things. I loved all the Ghostbusters stuff. As a big Ghostbusters fan, one of my favorite sort of old comedy movies. I really enjoyed most of the new characters that came in. I thought Max was great, Bob was great. And I just think, like, the character development this season was really good. The weakest episode I thought was episode 7, but I think the conversation with with Hopper and Eleven in the car in the season final was real. And I don't think they could have necessarily got that without her doing that sort of journey. So it sort of took away a bit from my criticisms of that episode. I still think it was the weakest, but I just thought really strong characters, strong stories. I liked how the first half of the season was a bit slower, so that we really got those fun sort of character moments and things just like Halloween costumes and just stuff like that, rather than it all being about the big monsters and stuff. But then when it picked up, those last two episodes are insane. They're great. Two of the best episodes of Stranger Things. I loved them. So I'm going to give it a 8.5 out of 10 as well.
There you go. Combined 17 out of 10. It's a strong score.
I think it's better than season 1 is my take.
I might have to rewatch season 1. I think it's in the ballpark. I think I gave season 1 a 9, so they're very close. Love Stranger Things. We want to know what you thought of Stranger Things. How does season 2 compare to season 1? Let us know. Facebook.com/ScreenVerdictPodcast. And don't think we're going to do a major housekeeping. We can say this is a tiny housekeeping. Do we have anything planned? Anything coming up that we want to let the listeners know about?
Do we? Do we have anything? I now feel like we've got something that we've planned that I've forgotten about.
No, that was an open-ended question. I just made a future podcast. We had talked about American Vandal because we love making a murderer. We love making a murderer. So American Vandal, a bit of a making a murderer-esque type show on Netflix. We might be talking about that.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about it. You got me into it, and I finished it last night. So, yes.
Very good. That could be coming up. And, is there any movies, shows that you're watching that you want to review?
Bass. You know our friend Bass.
Yeah, I think I know. I think I know a guy named Bass.
He was asking me last night whether we were wanting to do a podcast on Justice League. because he wanted to see it with me, but didn't want me to go out of my way to see Justice League if I didn't need to for a podcast.
Well, let's gauge interest. Let us know, facebook.com/screenburningpodcast.
What's your interest?
I thought Batman versus Superman was pretty bad, and I thought Wonder Woman was good but not great. So I have a very middling interest in Justice League.
Okay, cool. I've seen Downsizing tonight. No. It's Matt Damon, Kristen Wiig, and written and directed by Alexander Payne. Of Nebraska and Nebraska, About Schmidt, Sideways, and another movie I really like, The Descendants.
Oh, very good.
So he's one of my favourite directors. I think reviews for this have been sort of middling, so maybe not. you also know Brendan.
Yes.
Yeah, you went to school with him. I go to church with him. Anyway, Brendan had never watched Stranger Things before, but he watched the first season in the week leading up to the season 2 release. And then he watched the second season the first week it got released. He said to me, his best show of all time.
Wow.
Yeah, like he went from, like, in the past, like, 3 weeks, it's now, he's like, just best show, better than Firefly, he's calling it.
Well, that's why it's number one in the popularity. It's because people like Brendan. They're all over the Twitters and the Facebook. Favorite, take that, Firefly. Stranger Things is the new best show of all time.
If you're quoting Brendan.
Well, very good. Yes, some things to look forward to. I'd also mention Lady Dynamite, Maria Bamford's show on Netflix.
Yes, I hadn't heard about that until your message yesterday, so I will look into it.
So, yeah, a couple things to share. Oh, obviously Coco. When Coco drops, I think it's this week. Pixar. A Pixar original. Very excited for that. We'll be adding that to our famous Pixar rank. We have a rank of every Pixar film from 1 to, what number are they up to now? About 18, maybe?
63 Pixar.
Maybe if you include the shorts. So, yes, yeah. Very excited for Coco. So, yes, let us know if there's anything else we're missing. We hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll catch you again next week.